suitcase and take the money that was in it, or the banker would make a deal and say, I'll offer you so much for that suitcase before you open it, take my deal. And sometimes the person would say, no deal, I'll take what's in the suitcase. And the suitcase was open and there's nothing in there. Or there's a lot in there. Deal or no deal. When you're dealing with God and His Word, you better make a deal. You better not say to God, no deal. No dice. That's the foolish thing that you don't want to do, because if you say no to God's plan of salvation, you'll have to pay for your own sins. God made salvation very simple, very plain. But most people on earth reject it because it's too simple. They're prideful. They think that they have to help God out. You don't help God out. As Karen said, you receive it as a gift by faith. That was Naaman's problem. He was offered to be healed of leprosy, but the prophet said, dip in the Jordan River. The prophet never even came out to him, so he had to have faith, but he expected some spectacular thing to be involved. If you're waiting for something spectacular, like I had a guy say one time, God healed my warts, that's why I know I'm going to heaven, you know. He was fighting in Italy in World War II. This was in the early days. He said, God healed my warts over there. I said, that's not going to get you saved. God's plan of salvation is simple. Dip in the Jordan River. Dip yourself in the blood of Christ through faith. Trust Him. He's already done it all. It's open. You could be a Jew and get saved. You could be a Gentile and get saved. And so if you're not saved tonight, make a deal and say, Lord, I accept your way of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him alone for salvation. And you can know 100% you're going to heaven. You say, why? Because God doesn't lie. If it's God's word, you have God over a barrel. If He says, believe in Christ, you say, that's all I did. And then He doesn't save you. Then He lied. And yes, I know there's a lot involved once you believe that happens to you. But that's God's part.
Right.
It's not your part. That's God's part. But people, they want to move themselves into it. So deal or no deal. And, you know, when it comes to Iran, the president of the United States, the man that God raised up to judge, I believe, systems of evil, he said deal or no deal. He wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. The Art of the Deal. He is a consummate deal maker. But he's offered the Iranians a deal over there. And you say, what is his proposal? Well, he's offering them exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel told him to offer them. And wisely he listened to Netanyahu. Wisely. And he said, no nukes. No development of nuclear weapons. You know, the Iranians keep wanting to go above 30 to 90 in the enrichment of uranium. Why? Because they want to do nuclear weapons. They say it's for peaceful, but they keep going up. They're lying. They're lying. How can you tell they're lying? Their lips are moving. No deal. Number two, he said, get rid of your medium and long-range missiles. No deal. He said, number three, stop sponsoring terrorism. You know, Trump killed Baghdadi and he killed Soleimani. They have terrorized people. And he said, you can't do that. Through the Houthis in Yemen and through the Gaza people and through the people in Lebanon, Hezbollah, and so forth. Give up those terrorist things. They're not willing to do that. You think they're going to make a deal with Donald Trump? No. They're not going to do it. But Trump believes in this. He wants a deal, but if you don't do it, he walks away. He'll walk away from the deal. I believe personally tonight, this is my personal, he's already walked away. He's already walked away. You say, Pastor, how do you know he's already walked away? Because of what he has moving toward Iran. He won't waste that money. He'd never. That costs so much money, what he's done over there. He'd never waste that money. He doesn't do that. He's a businessman. And so, deal or no deal, the Iranian leadership, I believe God is speaking to them through Donald Trump and the Israeli prime minister. I believe God's speaking, and they're saying no deal. I believe they've already said it. You say, how do you know? I just told you. I'll give you another thing. They're talking in Switzerland. How many have heard about the peace talks? Do you know they're not in the same room? They don't talk in the same room. They pass messages back. You know why they're not in the same room? Because if they were in the same room, it would just end. It would have ended quick. They would just reject it. So they're trying to play this cat and mouse thing. It's not happening, I don't believe. Deal or no deal, they're saying no deal. And let me say to you, when you're dealing with God or somebody that is God's representative, you know, when you go out and give the gospel to somebody, if they believe, they're going to heaven. Mark 16. But if they don't believe, and as a fruit, if they are saved, they should get baptized. So it's a fruit of it. But if they don't do that, then they're going where? To hell forever. It's big important. Deal or no deal. How about you? When you hear the word of God preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God speaks to your heart, when the preacher's up there preaching, God is saying deal or no deal. And you say, I'm not moving. I'm not moving on this. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to. No, that's so foolish. You're quenching the Holy Ghost. And when you do that, you say, no deal, God, you got to suffer the consequences. There's no do-overs in life. I'm talking about the Christian life. There's chastisement. There's loss. There's consequences. Don't hesitate to make a deal with God. You say, what's God's deal? Unconditional surrender to his will. That's God's plan. And that's Trump's plan for the Iranians. Unconditional surrender to those things that I mentioned to you. And if the regime won't do that, then the regime's got to go. And so I want to preach to you tonight, deal or no deal. And I have three things to say about that based on what is going on in Iran. Please turn to Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39, prophecy you've heard about. By the way, I've been preaching on this. I found out, I talked to Brother Z and we were going over it. Probably from 2009, the end of 2009, right up to 2026. So you're talking now, we're into the 17th year. I've been preaching that this prophecy will be fulfilled as it's written here. And it is going to be fulfilled. You know, this summer, some people wanted to say, oh, what pastor's preaching on is being fulfilled. Well, it's getting closer. But it wasn't the fulfillment. When one day we bombed the nuclear sites in Iran with B-52s, that's not the whole prophecy, but it's a partial fulfillment. Now, the whole thing's getting ready to roll off the parchment onto the pavement, because deal or no deal, these people made no deal. Deal or no deal, I say number one, no deal, because God says he's against Elam, a part of Iran. Deal or no deal, no deal. Because God says he's against Elam, part of Iran. The Bible says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, look with me at Jeremiah 49, 34, and 35. Just those two verses. I'll read it. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam. Now, just notice those words in verse 34, against Elam. He, God, is against Elam. He's against Elam. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm so glad I know if I'm a believer in Christ, God's not against me. Amen? Praise God for that. He's for you tonight. Right. He's for you to have a joyous life. He's for you to have a successful life. He's for you to have a fruitful life. And it's so simple. You just surrender to his word. He makes it plain. But we complicate it, don't we? You ever hear a person say, when they say, do this, do that, they say it's complicated. No, you're complicated. You're complicating God's simple plan. plan for your life. It's simple. One man for one woman for one lifetime. And people compliment it by having extracurricular activities. That's stupid. Stupid. Deal or no deal. You do no deal, and you're going to find out that the way of the transgressor is hard. Now you say, what about Elam? God said he's against Elam. Genesis 10, 22 says, the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. Elam was the first son of Shem. First son of Shem was this man called Elam. And Elam, the son of Shem, is an ancestor of the Elamites. And they later merged with the Medes, who were the descendants of a man named Madai. And the Medes merged with the Persians to create the Persian Empire, which now today is modern-day Iran. Very interesting. And so Elam is something that was part of Iran today and was the precursor of it. And the country of Elam covered on the map the western portion of Iran, and especially the central western portion. The Elamites got their power by being archers, and they would shoot arrows off of bows. And I asked myself, why is the Iranian regime addressed as Elam in prophecy? And I can think of two reasons. Number one, the location, and the location of ancient Elam is the location of their first nuclear power development plant, which was in Bashir, right on the coast there. And so Elam covers a lot of their ballistic missile and their nuclear development. Secondly, Elamites were warriors, and they use bows and arrows, and Iranians are big into missiles. That's the arrows, and they shoot them from missile launchers. And so I believe that Elam is a good name for that aspect of Iran that hates others and attacks them through missiles. And God, through Trump and Israel, is getting ready, it says, if you look at verse 35 now of Jeremiah 49, he's getting ready to what? Break the bow of Elam. Does anybody know in modern terms what that would be to break the bow of Elam as part of Iran? Brother Joe, what would that be? Exactly. They're missile launchers. That's ready. Now, you noticed, and this is important to understand if this prophecy is going to be fulfilled, he has to get rid of their missile launchers and their missiles, their intercontinental ballistic missiles, their long-range and medium-range missiles. Did he do that when we hit them back in July? I think it was the 22nd of July. No, he only, in one day, he knocked out their nuclear sites. Couple of their nuclear sites, but that was not the missile launchers. That was not, so that wasn't a fulfillment. That hasn't been done. So I believe that is getting ready to be fulfilled. And interestingly, the current standoff, one of the things that Trump is demanding is you've got to get rid of your missiles. Long range, medium range missiles. Who do you think's leading Trump to say that? You say Netanyahu of Israel. No, the God of Israel. The God of Israel. These prophecies are coming to pass. And I've been preaching on it for almost 17 years now, but it's getting ready. It's a now prophecy. It's getting ready to be fulfilled. Why is that important? When I was in Sunday school, it meant nothing to me as a kid. I was like, this stuff, Sunday school, children of Israel, you know. When they'd be singing a song in Sunday school, they'd sing page 54. Jim Gritter and I, who was a friend of mine, we'd sing page 55 at the top of our lungs just so we wouldn't get bored. We were bored with Sunday school, bored with church. But when I turned 17, my grandmother talking to me when I was staying there, because I was getting in trouble in my home at that point in time, my mom and grandmother got together, right? You sent me to Muskegon, Michigan. And they were trying to keep me out of trouble because they could see I was ready to blow, punching holes in walls at home, you know. But they sent me up there, and when I heard of the Six-Day War, which was in the first week of June there, 1967, I was like, man, this is real. It was like the burning bush of Moses that Israel is brought back. I wasn't even saved, but I'd heard about Israel. I said, they've been brought back. God is in this nation. God is doing something. The God that I... There's something real about it. Just like Moses, when the bush burned, what did he do? He turned aside. Then God spoke to him. I turned aside, and God spoke to me through the King James Bible of my great-grandmother, Lickman. And I read it in her bedroom. She had passed. And then my Gram Abel told me about Jesus dying on the cross, and the lights came on. And I believed. Simple. I didn't even know I was saved. I believed, didn't even know it at that point in time. But I knew I had a joy and a peace and looking forward to heaven. It was in my heart. I was like, wow, something's different. Something different. And I'm saying to you that God keeps his word. And that's why it's important to study prophecy. To let people know this Bible is real. Wouldn't it be great if there really was a God? Wouldn't it really be great if he communicated us personally through his word, the Bible? Wouldn't it be great if he really heard prayer and answered prayer? I get that all from my wife. That's her sermon. But he is real. And prophecy should help you to know that God is real. And I have been telling you now for 17 years that this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And now, like he said, people came to church this Sunday. That's why Dustin came. He said, wow, what pastor's been preaching on is happening. My kids that I raised, they told me, Dad, sometime I thought you were crazy when you were preaching on prophecy. But not anymore. All of them say the same thing. The man, well, where did I get it from? The Bible. Where did I get it from? Great Bible teachers like Bill Salas, who helped me to understand this prophecy. A lot of other Bible teachers, they don't see it. They say, oh, this may have been fulfilled. They don't know when, but may have been fulfilled in the Babylonian. No, it wasn't. It's coming. It's now upon us. And so I listen to a guy who gives me updates on current events in the Persian Gulf. I don't even know the guy's name. He's from Wisconsin. He has an army uniform on. I love this guy's reports. But he says, and I've seen it, there have already been explosions throughout Iran. And the Iranian leaders are telling their people in the world, oh, these are just gas leaks and they're exploding all around Iran. How many have seen the explosions all around Iran? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, they're happening. I think at least two big ones happened today. One was in a mountain region of Iran. There's no gas up there. Those are Mossad or CIA or both, in my opinion. They are blowing up stuff ahead of invasion. That just is another thing to tell you. They're getting ready to do what this prophecy is all about. Okay? It's getting close. Real close, I believe. And it's the city of Shiraz in southern Iran. I believe that would be in Elam's area because it's toward the west. In an area where one of these explosions took place February 18th. What is it today? Oh, February 18th. That took place today. Now, this is an area where the regime has been hiding its nuclear development program and no doubt missiles. I'll break the bow of Elam, the missiles, the missile launchers. That's what they're blowing up already. And I believe it's the intelligence agencies that are doing that because those guys can go to war. And when they get out of control, they can go to war against your own government. So you got to watch out for these guys. But anyway, this is happening. Mountains just don't blow up. This is happening. And I believe that we are now at the time when this prophecy is getting ready to roll off the parchment of prophecy, Jeremiah 49, right onto the pavement. So stay tuned. And, you know, God is against this regime. Verse 34, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam. He's against Elam, and this is a prophecy that was given many, many years ago. Many, many years ago, around 2,600 years ago. And he's against it. Now, Axios, the news agency, just reported that the U.S. is nearing the decision to go against the Iranian regime. Axios is saying they're ready to go. Tucker Carlson doesn't like this. He doesn't want us to do anything against Iran. Candace Owens, when she was asked about this, at one point she said, the U.S. needs not to do regime change in Iran, they need to do regime change in Israel. We need to attack Israel, in other words, and do regime change. That woman is under satanic influence, just as sure as I'm standing here. And I feel for her. Pray for her, because she's in trouble. And I believe this Iranian regime is in trouble. And deal or no deal, when God is speaking, make a deal with God. Surrender to His will. That's the message to you tonight. Don't keep Him waiting. You know, they kept Trump waiting, and then he hit them with the B-52s. Now they're keeping him waiting again, and you thought that was bad. Wait till you see this. It's like all heaven is going to break loose. And when heaven breaks loose, watch out. You know, Naaman refused a deal. And the prophet just didn't cave, didn't change his terms. Wash in the Jordan, dip in there seven times. Your skin will come out like a skin of a baby. It'll be all clean. He walked away. And his men that worked under him, he was an officer in the Syrian army, they said, come on, don't. It was simple. He didn't give you something hard to do. It's simple. Why won't you get saved if you're not saved? It's so simple. God's done it all. He's prepared the free meal. All he wants you to do is come and take it freely. He offers it. But people want to add to it. And if you add one thing to God's plan of salvation, you're not surrendering to His will. You're doing your thing. And you'll die and go to hell. But if you accept Jesus as your Savior, just the way He says it, as a free gift, you'll go to heaven and be saved. So you need to surrender to God's will. Don't stand against Him in your pride. You know, pride goeth before a fall. You know, King Ahab, remember him? Elijah the prophet said, because of the blood of Naboth, you're going to die. And Ahab was real sad. And he said, oh, he walked around, he grieved and mourned over that because he believed Elijah was telling the truth. And because of that, God didn't kill him right away. He let him live for a number of years. God is a God of mercy. But Nebuchadnezzar, he was prideful, and he stood against God in his pride. He said, this is Babylon. God gave him a dream and said, Babylon's only the head of a golden image. There are going to be others after you. And Nebuchadnezzar raised his hand, and he built a whole golden image and said, worship that. Not just the head, but everything. And Daniel had to tell Nebuchadnezzar when he had another dream, oh, the you're going to get judged. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to be 7 years with no mind. He said, I pray that this doesn't come upon you, that you have peace and prosperity. But he said, you got to humble yourself before God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't do it. He said, oh, this is great Babylon that I built. And boom, he lost his mind. You could lose your mind. You could lose your life. You could lose your health. You don't submit to the will of God and the word of God, and you just stand up against it. There are a lot of Christians that suffer because of that. And we wouldn't do it if we gave up our pride. The Bible says to Christians in the book of James, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That means he's in military opposition against your pride. Humble yourself under God. You know, I recognize I'm just a little cog in God's wheel. Amen? Just a little cog. I'm a little man. Not much. But then I can see, when I realize that, I can see how God's using others and working through others. Pride is taking credit for what God and others are doing, or God through others are doing. Don't be prideful. Be humble. And God likes humility because he's the only one that has the right to be proud. He's God. And so, Jeremiah 49, I'll read verse 35. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I'll break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. In other words, their missile launchers are the big thing. They're the big thing. And when you put nuclear weapons on those missile launchers, that becomes their number one thing. And that's why they want that, because they want death to Israel and death to the United States of America, the big Satan and the little Satan. Right now, I want to tell you, we're in total war footing in Iran. Our intelligence agencies are causing these explosions. If I were the Ayatollah Khomeini, not today, but yesterday, day before, a week before, I would be on a Russian plane flying to Russia and getting a home next to Bashar Assad of Syria. I would not be messing with Donald John Trump. I would not be messing with the God of Donald John Trump, who's raised him up for these times. Midnight Hammer, as I said, the 22nd of June or July, I forgot which month. Anyway, Midnight Hammer was only one day, caused devastation. You know what he sent in there? B-52 bombers. Just a few of them. They flew all the way from the United States. Can you imagine that? Refueled them on the way. When was that, Joe? Do you know? Wow. Well, this buildup is not for a one-day mission. This kind of buildup, I can tell you, is going to be for a longer time. Deal or no deal? No deal when it comes to God's warnings are not good, because God says he's against Elam, a part of modern day Iran. Number two, deal or no deal? No deal because God says he's very angry with the regime of Elam, modern day Persia. Look what it says in 36 and 37, and I'll read 37 first. Let's read Jeremiah 49:37. It says, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life. You know, the Ayatollah was talking about Trump and mocking him, and he said, yeah, he's sending these warships, you know, he's sending these carriers, we can knock them out and sink them. And they do have a weapon that's very powerful. It's a missile that can sink stuff. But he is telling his people that doesn't sound like a deal. Doesn't sound like surrender. He's been since 1979 threatening Israel. Not a wise thing. Genesis 12 says, if you want your nation to be blessed, bless Israel. Candace, Tucker. If you want it to be cursed, curse Israel. Donald Trump, he got in his first term. What did he do? He was the first president to move the U.S. embassy to Israel. His ambassador to Israel was a Jewish man that counseled him to do that. He had other guys counseling him the other way. Mike Pompeo said, don't do it. And there was a debate back and forth, and Trump said, go at it. And then after Trump went with the Israeli guy who was the Israeli ambassador, United States citizen, Jewish, then Pompeo and others tried to get behind his back and sway Trump. And Trump said, that's not fair. He's not here. Let him come if you're going to talk to me again. And Trump stayed with it. He was the first U.S. president to do it. Others promised it because they're just making a campaign promise. Trump did it. God raised him up. United States is being blessed because we're blessing the nation of Israel. Does that mean Israel's good and perfect and wonderful and doesn't? No, no more than the United States is perfect. It means they're God's chosen people. And he's raised them up in these last days to make his name great through them. Because God is great. He keeps his promises. God keeps his promises to us. And so he says in verse 36 now, he says, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed. Listen to this. Before their enemies. Now the Ayatollah is saying, oh, we'll sink them, you know, we'll do this, we'll do that. Well, they may do some damage. I don't know. I tend to think no. But it says, whatever happens, they're going to be dismayed before their enemies, plural. Who's their enemy? Israel. Who's their enemy? The United States. And before them that seek after their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and will send the sword after them till I've consumed them. Does that sound like a strong victory on the behalf of those that are fighting against Iran? And the regime of Iran today I'm talking about? Oh yeah, that's a victory. Because God is angry with Elam. God is not only against them, he's angry with them. Listen to me, you don't want God to chasten you. You don't want to provoke him to chasten you. Now, he doesn't judge you as an unsaved person, but you will feel his wrath as a parent. How many of you have ever been spanked by a parent? Yeah. You ever felt it? It don't feel good. Especially when my dad did it. Didn't feel good. I'm saying you better make peace with God. You have peace with God through Christ, but I'm talking about pleasing him by doing his will and not fighting his will. If there's something in your life you've been playing with tonight, it's time to surrender to God. Because the Bible says, he that being oft reproved stiffens his neck shall suddenly be broken, and that without what? Remedy. You can deal with a long-suffering God, and he keeps warning you, and then you keep pushing it, and you're going to have a consequence that will not be taken away from you. It'll be there for the rest of your life. And it could affect eternity. I'm talking to a child of God now. You're saved. You've accepted Christ. He says, God says, I'm going to deal with this guy. He said, no deal. The Ayatollah, no deal. And so God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to be dismayed before Israel. You're going to be dismayed before the United States. And we have other nations now helping us, like Britain, Italy, Germany. Talks about enemies. They're helping in a lesser way. He says, I'll bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. I will send the sword after them till I've consumed them. That sounds like occupation. And I remember a preacher, great man of God, he said that his dad would spank him. And he would get whiny and bad attitude, you know. And his dad would spank him. And the mother would say in the other room, whatever the father's name was, George, spank him till he's sweet. You know what? When sometimes if you get a bad attitude and you get it rooted in, you're getting ready for God to give you a spanking. And he will spank you till you're sweet. I believe this is now coming up. You say, why do you believe it? Well, we sent an aircraft carrier, the Abraham Lincoln. It's been out there. Now we have, within 24 to 48 hours, the largest U.S. aircraft carrier in the world. Now China is now announcing they want to build one bigger. They're starting to build. But it's called the Gerald R. Ford. It's the largest one in the world. It's 24 hours away, 48 hours. And not only that, Trump just, you know what he just did? He's now sending, Brother Bob, the George W. Bush. That's a third aircraft carrier. That's unprecedented. I think we only have nine. That's unprecedented to move that kind of firepower into Iran. It must have got Russia's attention because they're sending battleships there right now as I speak. We're sending in 160 cargo planes, 48 stealth fighters, 48 F-16 jets, 12 F-22 Raptors. They've been sent in the last 22 hours. 12 F-22 Raptors. Many, many B-52 bombers, not just the few that came in June the 22nd. We have a submarine. You'll like this one, the USS Georgia. It's a nuclear-powered submarine. And that thing is something. He sent over 40 refueling aircraft that can refuel aircraft for a sustained campaign of bombing. And a command center craft that can direct the war. He has enough in there for a 3 to 5 week campaign, not a 1 day thing. That is what we're talking about in Jeremiah 49. God is against Elam. God is angry with the regime. And I believe that we're ready to see this prophecy rolling off the parchment onto the pavement and being fulfilled. Now, notice verse 36 again. It says, "And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven." Now, heaven is the sky. It's not talking about where God is, the third heaven. It's about the sky. In other words, it's going to be an air attack. It's going to come at him from all directions. Not only jets and bombers, but missiles. It's going to come at him from every direction. They should have made a deal. Hey, don't get to this point in your life where there's no turning back with God. He's just got to bring down consequences. Have a soft heart before him. Keep your heart soft. He says all that's going to happen, and then there'll be, and here's what it says, "And I will scatter them," speaking of the people around Elam, modern day Iran, I will scatter them, it says, toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Edom shall not come. That sounds like some kind of refugee crisis, doesn't it? And we need to be ready if God brings people our way, because it says they'll be in, going to every nation, and God's going to free these people up from oppression in Elam and in Iran, and it's going to happen very soon, and we need to be ready for that event to happen. By the way, we need to be ready to witness to people and win people to Christ, and always be ready. Paul said, "I'm ready." Are you ready? Deal or no deal? No deal because God says he's against Elam. No deal because God says he's angry. No deal, finally, because Elam is conspiring to fight another day. Look with me at verse 39. It says, "But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord." Have you noticed how Russia's helping out Elam? Do you know they're doing joint naval exercises with them? They're bringing in a vessel that can help. Let me just say something. I don't believe that Russia is going to be any kind of a threat. They're not ready for Ezekiel 38 and 39. Do you know when Ezekiel 38 and 39 happens, Iran is going to be with them? It says in chapter 38 of Ezekiel 1 through 6 that Persia will be one of the nations to come with Russia. Turkey will be another nation that will come with Russia. Persia Iran is going to be pretty big. Do you know right now one of the things I think the Ayatollah is trying to do is get his nuclear stuff out of there and bring it to Russia? I think that's why he's sending those ships. Put their nuclear uranium on there so they can, after they get smashed, later on they can say, okay, we've been smashed, we're done. And then under some future administration, I don't know how long it'll be, United States won't even be a factor. We'll either be part of the North American Union or we will be weakened and not be a factor. Sounds to me like now is the time to serve God. While we have Donald Trump. Donald Trump sending troops into Nigeria because Islamic people are killing Christians over there, and Trump's defending them. He's not a perfect man by any means, but I'm just saying, thank God that we have opportunities. Now is the time to serve God. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Let these things wake you up. My mother sees me all the time running, don't you, Mom? All the time. She wants me to be like more, not running. But you know what? I'm running right now because I know time is short. I don't know how long. I hope it's longer than I'm, you know. But we need to take advantage of the opportunities because I believe Russia is not ready. They can't go to war with the United States right now in the Navy. United States is the superpower of superpowers. Don't worry. Russia's not going to stand up to it. This is not Ezekiel 38. That's a next prophecy. This one, Iran's going to be crushed. And anybody that helps them, watch out. You're going to put yourself backward. And so the Iranian leaders relying on Russia, like Israel used to rely on Egypt when it wasn't trusting God. And they do have a weapon called the Hoot, that can sink our destroyers, but they have to be very close by. Good luck on that one. Verse 48, now I'll conclude it. Verse 48 of Jeremiah 49. I know I'm a little bit over, but let me read verse 48. It says here, verse 38. He says, "And I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord." What's that talking about? The regime. He's going to take out the regime. And what's God going to do? He's going to put in another ruler that will be carrying out God's will because he calls it his throne. Look for a regime change. Look for some kind of occupation of modern day Iran for a time. For a time. Because we know that after all that's done, the Bible says, read verse 39, "But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord." And then they'll have their stuff. Maybe this stored in Russia. Russia's going to be their ally. And then that next prophecy will be they with Russia and Turkey and North African nations like the Sudan that we mentioned or Yemen today and so forth. They're going to attack Israel. And the United States won't be able to help them then. But guess what? Even with no help and Israel not being able to win that war, who's going to help them, Brother Matt? Almighty God, and Russia will be defeated. Don't mess with Israel. And don't mess with the God of Israel and the Savior of Israel who opens doors. If God gives you an opportunity to get into financial peace, do it if you can. Soul winning, training, do it. Church like this, be here. Get in your Bible. Get away from worldly stuff, worldly music, worldly styles. Go for God. Surrender to His will. Then your life will not be all complicated with all kind of problems that come because you don't make a deal with God. Deal or no deal? You know what I want to say tonight? Deal. Deal. Let's bow for prayer.